So as we've heard, tularemia is a zoonotic disease that is caused primarily by two subspecies of Francisella tularensis, F. tularensis, or type A, and F. tularensis whole artica, or type B. Tularemia is a febrile illness that can present in one of six different clinical forms, and there are many routes of transmission, including tick bites. Dermacentor variabilis, or the American dog tick, has a suspected role in the enzootic cycle and transmission of tularemia, although this is not fully understood. In 1924, Francisella tularensis was first isolated from a tick during a study of Dermacentor andersoni ticks in Montana. After that, there were several published prevalence estimates, mainly in the 1920s through the 1960s and early 2000s. These studies estimated the prevalence in Dermacentor variabilis ticks in the United States to be between 0 and 4%. Research conducted in 1930 demonstrated the prevalence of Francisella tularensis in Dermacentor variabilis ticks from Minnesota at a prevalence less than 0.1%, and this is the only known published study of F. tularensis prevalence in Minnesota tick species. The Minnesota Department of Health conducts blended surveillance for cases of tularemia in both humans and animals. Although Minnesota is not a high incidence state for tularemia, we have seen an increase in reported cases over the past 2 to 3 years. In Minnesota, a majority of people acquire tularemia through a tick bite. Of tick-borne exposures, a similar proportion of infections are caused by type A and type B. In May 2017, we received a report of a rabbit die-off in Washington County, Minnesota. Two adjacent property owners reported a total of about 26 dead rabbits over the course of 1 week, large quantities of ticks at both properties, and an indoor-outdoor cat named Rooster, pictured here, at one of the properties who was being treated by his veterinarian for suspected tularemia. We wondered if dead rabbits, plus a lot of ticks, plus a sick cat, could be evidence of an epizootic of tularemia. And if so, what could we learn from it? MDH epidemiologists visited the properties to conduct a site investigation to find out more. We coordinated with a local veterinarian to test the cat for F. tularensis antibodies. Unfortunately, the rabbits had since been buried and we were not available to test them. And we collected ticks for Francisella tularensis testing at our public health laboratory, and we'll focus on this part of the investigation for the remainder of my presentation. Since the prevalence of Francisella tularensis in Minnesota ticks is unknown, our objective was to estimate the prevalence in Minnesota Dermacentor variabilis populations. To do this, we used the apparent epizootic site and routine tick research sites for sampling. We collected Dermacentor variabilis ticks weekly from May 11th through July 6th at the epizootic site, designated here as sites A and B. These are two contiguous properties in Washington County, which is on the southern edge of the Minneapolis and St. Paul metropolitan area, and we aim to sample at least 100 ticks per property each week. Dermacentor variabilis ticks were also incidentally collected at 5 routine Ixodes scapularis tick research sites, which were located across Minnesota and designated here as sites C through G. Collection was done while wearing white painter suits and dragging a white canvas cloth through wooded and grassy habitat, as pictured here. Collected ticks were preserved in vials of 70% ethanol. During 2 weeks, additional ticks were collected and kept alive for bacterial culture. The ticks were then sorted by species and sex and pooled with a maximum of 10 ticks per pool. In the laboratory, the ticks were laterally bisected and homogenized. Supernatant from the ethanol killed ticks was tested by real-time PCR for the presence of Francisella tularensis DNA. Positive pools were then tested by another real-time PCR assay to determine the subspecies of Francisella tularensis. DNA extract from live ticks was also tested by these PCR assays, and positive pools were plated on modified Thayer Martin agar for bacterial isolation. Suspected colonies were then confirmed by direct fluorescent antibody tests. We calculated the minimum infection rate for each site. Assuming each positive pool contained at least one infected tick, we divided the number of positive pools by the total number of ticks tested. Over the study period, we collected and tested a total of 3,527 Dermacentor variabilis ticks, including 1,600 males and over 1,900 females. Of the 378 pools, 34% were positive for F. Francisella tularensis by real-time PCR. Francisella tularensis from 75% of the pools was identified as type A. The other pools were not able to be subspeciated. 40 pools were tested by bacterial culture. DNA was detected by PCR in 10 or 25% of the pools. Francisella tularensis from 8 of the 10 pools was identified as type A, and 6 of the 10 pools had a confirmed Francisella tularensis isolate. 4 of 7 sites had real-time PCR positive pools, indicated here by the green circles. The proportion of positive pools at the epizootic site was higher than all other sites with positive pools combined, although this was not statistically different. Across all 7 sites, the minimum infection rate was 3.6%. The median minimum infection rate at positive sites was 4.1% and ranged from 2.1% to 7.2%. The minimum infection rate was significantly higher at site F compared to the epizootic site. However, there was no difference in the minimum infection rate between site E and the epizootic site. And within the epizootic site, the MIR was significantly higher at the second property compared to the adjacent property. So we were able to find Francisella tularensis at a majority of the sites that we sampled. This included a site with an apparent epizootic and 2 sites without an apparent epizootic. In fact, the minimum infection rate was higher at 1 non-epizootic site compared to the site with the apparent epizootic. It is important to note, however, that epizootics may occur at sites and not be noticed or documented. The overall Francisella tularensis prevalence in adult Dermacentor variabilis ticks was 3.6%, and at positive sites, the median MIR was 4.1%. These results are very similar to a study from Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts that found a median annual prevalence of 3.4% in Dermacentor variabilis ticks, and it ranged from 2.7 to 4.3 over the 3-year study. However, other published estimates in Dermacentor variabilis ticks in the United States are lower, often less than 1%. Estimates of Francisella tularensis prevalence in other Dermacentor species in Europe are similar to those in the United States, ranging between 1 and 3%, although can range up to 7% in Dermacentor reticulatus species from the Czech and Austrian republics. The minimum infection rate of Francisella tularensis in Dermacentor variabilis ticks varied geographically. At the epizootic site, there were consistently more infected ticks collected at one of the 2 properties, and the MIR varied regionally across the state. The study conducted in Martha's Vineyard also found non-random distribution of Dermacentor variabilis ticks infected with Francisella tularensis. All ticks in this study that were successfully subspeciated were infected with type A. The ticks from Martha's Vineyard study were also infected with type A. We found this interesting because in Minnesota, human tick-borne tularemia cases are caused by both type A and type B, and at nearly equal proportions. Our findings suggest that the type A cycle of tularemia is important in Minnesota. However, we need to learn more about the type B ecologic cycles to better explain the epidemiology of all tick-borne tularemia cases in Minnesota. We still have a lot to learn about the tick's role in tularemia ecology. We hope to continue testing on ticks and other samples collected from known areas of tularemia activity to improve our understanding of the natural transmission of tularemia and also the variability in infection prevalence and persistence of the bacteria over time. Thank you.